What's going on, guys? Billy Alvaro, Unstoppable Real Estate Investing Wealth. And on today's episode, I had the pleasure of interviewing this gentleman, Mark Pelletz. He has been in the industry since 1978. Let that sit in for a second. 44 plus years of experience doing this business. The man has seen the ups and downs and all arounds when it comes down to the economies and it comes down to market trends. And he himself has been up and down. By 21 years old, he bought his first house. By 25, he owned over 100. And by 41, the man was broke. Why? He's going to tell you in his story. And if you're a young man or woman starting in this business, I want you to listen to this episode and take notes. Because like Mark and myself, we've made millions and lost millions because of sometimes stupidity, sometimes circumstances, sometimes drugs and alcohol. Don't go down the wrong path. Anyway, his story ends up remarkable. He reads the book, Think and Grow Rich. He writes down the goals that he wants to achieve. And like himself and myself and just about every entrepreneur I've interviewed and know, Think and Grow Rich is like the Bible to entrepreneurs. If you're going to be an entrepreneur, that's the book you need to read. Don't read it, study it. He got into that book, and at 41 years old, when he was flat broke and living in a hotel, from that time until now, 64 years old, he owns several hundred free and clear rental properties where the cash flow just keeps spinning into his account every single month like clockwork. You're going to learn a lot on this episode. I'm really happy to call this man a friend. He's genuine. He speaks from the heart. I call him the Mindset Millionaire because literally with his own mind, he was able to convert himself and drag himself out of where he was living, flat, broken, busted, and multiple years later, he has hundreds of properties free and clear. I hope you enjoyed the episode. Take notes, and I'll see you later. Welcome to Unstoppable Real Estate Investing Wealth. My name is Billy Alvaro, a.k.a. the Unstoppable VA, former billion-dollar mortgage banker, gone bankrupt, turned professional real estate investor, where each week you'll learn the tools, strategies, systems, and secrets myself and other highly successful real estate investing entrepreneurs use to start, grow, and scale their businesses, creating massive profits, and how you can too. And we'll teach you how to put those profits to work so you no longer have to. Get ready to finally experience financial freedom and generational wealth. Now let's get started. All right, what's going on, everybody? This is Billy Alvaro, the Unstoppable BA, and this is another episode of Unstoppable REI Wealth, Real Estate Investing Wealth. And before I introduce my guest, I just want everybody to know this show is meant for one purpose and one purpose only, to add extreme freaking value to your lives so you can take yourself from where you are to where you want to go in the real estate investing world and create serious freaking wealth. Now, to do that, you're going to need to tap into a lot of the systems that we speak about, the secrets that we speak about, and the tools and the tricks. So I've put them all in one place because over the years, I got an email, the text blasted. People ask me, how do you do this? And what do you do for that? How do you choose your mail piece? So if you guys go to billyssecrets.com, that's B-I-L-L-Y-S, secrets.com, everything that I use to build my business today and in the future and everything my guests use are going to be there as a quick link. You can go in, click on it, utilize the system, tap into it. We have marketing systems, we have campaigns, we have list services. Anything you need to get yourself to the next level is going to be on there, especially the mindset piece, which I basically utilize to brainwash myself every single morning. Also, I'm going to have a special offer to you guys. If this is your first time listening to the podcast, if you would, I had back about 2 years ago, I did a three-day event where I went out and I taught from stage 150 people how to do this business like step by step. Everything is recorded. All the tools I utilize, my quick offer deal analyzer, my rehab sheet, everything is going to be for you in a Dropbox. I'm going to give it to you free on me. All you need to do is do this. Subscribe to the podcast. Download all the episodes that are on there. Give me a 5-star rating and give me a real review. Take a snapshot of that. Send it to my assistant at Billy Alvaro Podcasts. That's with an S at the end. At gmail.com, Billy Alvaro Podcasts at gmail.com. You do that, I'm going to give you 3 full-day access to a recorded session that I did on stage where I put it all out. It's my gift to you. All you need to do is give me what I asked you for, the subscribe button, the download, 5-star rating, and a review. And now, without any further ado, the man of the hour, power hour, I want to introduce this dude. So look, I've been in this industry for a long time. Like, I'm considered a seasoned old bastard. This guy who's I'm going to introduce right now, this gentleman has been doing this for 40 years. And he and I have a lot in common. Him and I spoke, I think it was about a year ago this past summer, and we connected through Facebook, and I realized that I'm looking at a version of myself a few years ahead. But him and I have built multiple businesses, have lost multiple businesses. We went from the top to the bottom, bankrupt, and built ourselves up. So I have a tight bond with this gentleman because I could relate to the things that we're going to be speaking about today. Without any further ado, I want to introduce to you Mark Pellitz, 1,000 units a year, 1,000 units that he's flipped and sold, over $300 million. The guy is an author of a best-selling book, which I'm going to have him introduce in a second. Your time is now. He's a coaching, he owns a coaching company. He lives the fucking life. I mean, he's out in Florida. He's in Colorado now for the winter. Mark Pellitz, without any further ado, bro, welcome to the show, my man.
Well, so grateful to be here. It's so nice to see you. And ditto on what you said. You know, we have a connection that goes deeper than the time we've spent together. And it's great to be here with you. And anything that I can do to help your people, our people of the world, that's what we're here to do, make a difference in each other's lives. So grateful to be here this morning.
I appreciate you coming in, Mark. So I want to get right into it. This whole show, I don't want to go into fluff and a half hour story of how you got doing what you're doing. I want to get into things that our listeners could take, implement, act on, and see results on. So I know you, like myself, but before I get into that, just a 5 minute of tell us like how you gotten started with this business and a little bit about the story of your up and down, just to get people into it so they know where they're coming from, give some context. And then I want to get into this whole mindset piece that you are big on.
All right, let's go. Let's rock and roll. So I got started over 40 years ago in 1978 in Arizona as a young man. And remember this, you don't have to have money to get started in real estate. You know, one of the jokes I always say, you know how to make $1 million in real estate? Start with $2 million and don't have anybody show you how to do it. So, but that wasn't my story. I got lucky really early on in Phoenix, Arizona. I went to buy my first house as a 21-year-old kid. My parents said no. Being the defiant child that I was, that was really what it took. They told me no. I said go, just like everything else. Yep. I found a way to buy houses with no money down, put cash back in my pocket, and that was an exciting thing to do. Picture this, 21 years old, no money, just out of college, get into a town, and I find out I bought a house, and I put $5,000 in my pocket, took the house over, and got positive cash flow from it right out of the gate, and I'll tell you what, I was excited, and getting excited is important in life because it's our feelings and emotions that actually lead us to the dreams that we have. But that was a run. By 25, I had over 100 houses. I was a multimillionaire, and I thought everything I would touch turned to gold. Yep. And but, you know, I was young. That young money, for all of you guys out there that or girls that are young, that young money is hard to keep. So I challenge you to get yourself somebody who's been there and done that so you don't have to make some of the mistakes that we made. And you can take that early money and turn it into a lifetime of prosperity. But that wasn't my story. At 25, I got into sex, drugs, rock and roll, gambling, and everything else that could, you know, make me look good on the outside. And I didn't know how to stop. Talk about unstoppable Billy. I was unstoppable Mark in the wrong directions. Yeah. And at 30 years old, I thought I had it all. I was married. I had a baby. I had all the accoutrements outside, the houses, the cars, the boats, the whatever. And I stopped doing those things that I did to get me there. And it was a process. From 30 to 41, I lost everything I had. I was mentally, physically, spiritually, emotionally, financially bankrupt, and I found myself on the streets of Sarasota, and I borrowed $1,000 from the last person who would not even trust me because he basically said, here's, this is a gift. You don't have to pay me back, and I found myself in a hotel room in Sarasota. I rented a car with no air conditioner on my week, and quite honestly, what I did is I turned myself over to God and asked God to help me stop. And I made a decision that day. Like you and your business, wherever you're at, it always takes making a decision first, then making a plan, and then taking some action. And the action that I took, well, to start off, I took out a 3x5 card that I learned early on was in the book Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill. I wrote on that card 50 houses by the time I was 50. Now, remember, I'm 41 years old. I've got no money. I'm basically hopeless, but I made a decision. I'm going to change. And By 49 years old, I found myself with 50 houses, 50 rental properties. And what I believe is rich, you know, rich financial richness is last on the list. First is positive mental attitude. Second is health. Third is harmony in a relationship. Fourth is a vocation that makes you inspired. And I started moving out the path because rich financially to me just mean made more money than I spend. And I started off very slowly and I bought a property, no money down again. And I had an apartment attached to it. I lived in that apartment. I stayed in that apartment until I had 50 houses.
See that?
I always believe, I think I saw a post by you today, live below your means. And that doesn't mean make a budget. I don't believe in budgeting and nitpicking and stopping your Starbucks so you can be rich. I mean, go out there and make money and don't spend as much as you make on a regular basis and let your lifestyle coincide with where you're at. Not looking like a big shot before you're a big shot. And even if you become a big shot, you don't need, I should say, I don't need the cars, the houses, the boats, and all that stuff. I'm not saying anything's wrong with that. I had that before, but I learned that's not what I need to be fulfilled and be happy.
Mark, you just gave us a shitload, and I appreciate this, and I appreciate you being transparent. How old are you now? What's your age? Because you said about 49. How old are you?
64 years old.
Okay, so you're talking 14, 15 years ago is when you hit your number, 49 years old, you hit your number for 50. So I want to go back before that, and I want you just to explain, when you hit rock bottom, were you living on the streets? Were you just temporarily living? Like, what did that look like there?
Well, I wasn't actually living on the streets in a bag, but I had nowhere to live, and I got to the bottom. I actually went from nowhere to live and borrowed that $1,000 to stay in the hotel.
Hotel, got it.
In the north side of town. So I actually wasn't in a brown bag on the streets.
Got it. And when you were at that age, you were about, you know, between 40, 30 and 41. When you were
41.
Yep, 41 years old, completely broke. What, I know that book, Think and Grow Rich, has helped me in my lifetime. I've read it, you know, dozens of times, and it's like the foundation cornerstone, you know, along with a lot of other books. James Allen, As a Man Thinketh, was the first one that I read. But you said that you wrote down from a piece in his book of what you were going to get to 50 houses. But then a lot of people do that. They write down what they want to do. What did you then do in addition to that to start getting down this path? Like, take us through that, because there's people on this podcast that are listening that maybe they didn't lose everything, but they've never actually gotten to any level. Every year, 2000, every year comes in, New Year's is coming around, they put out a lofty goal, which I call as a wish if they have no fucking action plan attached to it. They put it out there, and by March, they've completely forgotten about it. And by December of that coming, that end of that year, they're like, what the hell's happening? I never got anywhere this year. I did nothing. And they get depressed. They put another goal out, and they get in this vicious freaking cycle of putting out goals and never accomplishing. So what did you do to accomplish? Like, how did you do it?
Well, the first thing that you said is not even 3% of people even set goals. And a goal really is something that you put down on a piece of paper that is specific, timely, attainable, relevant. So if you're just talking about things, that's really just a dream. So if you're the type of person who's going to actually put it on paper, you have actually taken the first step. You have a desire, you made a goal, you put it on paper, but then you have to get into action immediately. You know, you make a goal, you've got to, what I call constant, never-ending improvement. You've got to make a decision that each day of your life, you're going to take the priorities of your life. See, the way to get goals is really, you get the priorities in your life and you put them on a piece of paper and you dovetail that into what your specific goals are going to be. And then you make a decision that you're going to take action in the direction of your goals every single day, because that will teach you the art of fulfillment. But what we're really talking about now is you. If you're listening, how can you take this time of your life, the end of the year, put specific goals on paper and make it a reality? Because dreams become reality when you make it a goal and take action regularly. So you've got to make up your mind that you're going to take action, even if it's uncomfortable. Get comfortable with being uncomfortable.
Oh, yeah.
Because the goal, it means it's something you haven't attained yet. And if you haven't attained it yet, you have to become something you've never been before. So make a decision. Your life is going to change and you're going to be responsible for it. Take responsibility for it. But start right here with your thoughts. You know, if you said to yourself, you know, you mentioned, you know, many people do this and they never get themselves started. Change the way that you think. Change the words that you say to yourself. There's no I can't. There's no impossible. There's no, none of that stuff is, you know, take charge of your mind, because our thoughts determine everything in our life. It's our thinking that makes it so, but you've got to take action around your thinking.
So I'm so glad you and I are on the same page with so much when it comes down to mindset. And I know that's one of the topics that you wanted to bring to the table today in regards to getting your head straight and getting yourself to the next level. So take us back to when you were basically piss poor, broke, and you had nothing and you were living out of the hotel room. What did you do? How did you, like, let's first look at what, how did you decide that you wanted the 50, it was a number you pulled out, but then what market did you go into? Was there a marketing plan? Like, how did you start acquiring properties with no money? I think that's an important piece that I want people to understand, because that you don't need to have cash. You need to be resourceful. You need to have a belief in your head that you could actually do it. Then you need to figure out and say, okay, regardless, no money, no job, no income. I was there with you, $14 million in debt. But what did I do differently from everybody else? It's that I made a decision, as did you. And then I took massive fucking action to make things happen. I wasn't running in circles. I had a very clear path that I needed to go down to make things happen. I focused on vacant houses because in my market, there were plenty of vacant houses. And I said, for me to get to the next level, I'm going to go for the low hanging fruit to make shit happen. What did you do to start acquiring, like, your first deal? What market did you go after? What niche did you go after? How did you go about doing this?
Well, the first thing I want to applaud you for, as you said, resourceful. Because in the end of the day, being resourceful is the most important thing that you can be. And if you don't know how, you find out who, you know, and it's all my who's that have done the how's for me that I can't do. But at the beginning, when I had no money to attract any who's, what I did was what I learned when I was 21 years old. I went after properties that had equity in it, where I could find somebody who I could get to believe in me, so they would take back some paper and I could create some creative financing around the property's value. And that's okay. How I got started. That's okay, how I did it when I was 21, and that's how I did it this time. But what I did was I woke up with the plan, and the plan was to knock on doors or connect with people any way possible that could get me that first deal again. And remember, that first deal is the hardest. The first one's the hardest.
Yeah.
One to 10 is really hard also. But after you get to 10, you start building up momentum. And after 50, you know, they start falling out of the sky, really, because you've gotten yourself into action in so many different ways that they just come to you. I'm out here in Colorado. I got 3 deals yesterday. You know, I was on the ski slopes. But it was because of the seeds that I planted and the action that I've taken all these years. And the main thing was that I always did what I said I was going to do.
Yeah.
And that started to build a thread to people in the industry in the area that I was, that started to pay dividends later on. And you know, massive action sounds like a lot to some people. For us, massive action is what we do every day, but it's really just taking some action that's congruent with the direction that you want to go in your life on a regular daily basis. Consistency and persistent action is way, in my opinion, more important than massive action. That massive action is like the fuel that gets you the rocket ship off the ground, but it's the consistent daily thinking.
The small wins. It's the small wins daily. And I speak about this, and I spoke about it on another podcast. You'll get eventually to a level that you can take massive fucking action, but you have to, in the beginning, like when I was on the couch and I was busted and I was doing drugs and I couldn't get out of my own way, I couldn't think of massive action. I just needed to do small wins on a daily basis. And back then, a small win was literally getting off the couch and taking a shower. That was like a win. Yeah, exactly. And then every day you build upon those small wins. And eventually you get that momentum behind you that kind of carries you. And now you're in a position where you're like, you're starting to take massive action and things start to happen quickly. But you need to start small, to your point, small, yeah, consistent steps, yeah, daily.
And what you said is so true. And give yourself credit wherever you are when you're taking action. It's that pat on the back to yourself that means so much. And at the beginning, when I was lower than whale turd, all as I put on that, you know, I'd always have a sheet of paper. Like, I got this now, and I do it every day. I do it the night before, and we'll talk about the launch today program if we get some time today. But at the beginning, all I put on a piece of paper was eat right, don't do drugs and drink, and go to the freaking gym. And that was about all I could handle. But right, every time that I did that, I'd give myself a pat on the back. But what I made sure that I did specifically was whatever I put down on a piece of paper or my whiteboard for the day, whatever that was, I made sure that happened, so yeah, that piece of paper, you know, or on that whiteboard, became something in the, I want to call it a universal energy web.
Yeah.
What they knew what I put on that piece of paper was going to happen. And it started with putting one, I get one house a month. Then it became one a week. Then it became 10 a month. And then it just became, then it started to snowball. But it started with that first step of taking pen to paper and writing it down on a daily basis.
Also. I don't know if you can see this, but I do this every single day, every night, every morning. Every night and every morning, I'm in here with my journal, and I know exactly what projects and tasks I'm going to do, my three targets for the day, and everything else is fill-in. Phone calls. I have three major things, and I'm going to – and they're small things into a major thing that's going to give me results down the road. It's not a major project I'm going to do in one day, but it's a small piece of it. And every day, I execute, implement, take myself to the next level. And guys that are at that level, they start like you and I both did, small, incremental steps. But – you, I think, and I'm from out of line for saying this, you're a creative finance like wizard. Like that's your niche. Like you're a creative finance guy, right? Buying properties subject to, am I online or offline?
No,
like,
not anymore.
You used to though. You used to do that.
Well, I had to. I had no money.
Yeah.
When you have no money, you got to get creative. Now I have money and I don't do much of that. Some of our students do, but you know, I, you know, and I'm not saying right or wrong. I don't use leverage or anything like that anymore. You know, I'm at a different place in my life. I've been really blessed to be living the dream, quite frankly. What I want to say, though, I'm not smarter than anybody else. I don't have very many special skills, although we all have our things that are unique about us that are special. But what I did do is I got really clear on where I wanted to go. As evidenced by me living right here in Colorado right now and buying a place here, I had that vision over 30 years ago and I held it clear and I put emotion to it, you know, and I moved towards that every day of my life, even when I was broke. I knew where I wanted to end up. And the same thing can happen for you if you make a decision and don't let anything get in your way. Don't let life knock you down, because life will knock you down, but you get back up again. It can be deaths, it can be divorces, it can be bad business deals, it can be bad partners. It doesn't matter what it is. Life happens to all of us, but life happens for us, not to us. Everything that happens in our life is a great opportunity to learn and grow. And if you're learning and growing, it's all good. I remember I used to say I had all kinds of problems. Oh, I had problems, and it was usually your fault.
Yeah.
Later they became challenges, but now it's up to me to everything that's happening to me click into this is an opportunity to grow and learn. What am I going to learn and grow from this? Because if you're learning and growing, it's always a good thing. And if you're learning and growing in the direction of where you want to go in your life, actually everything that happens is great.
Yeah, I so agree with you, Mark. We're on the same page, man. So you're now living in two different states. You're Colorado, Florida. What does your business look like? First off, what is your niche? Are you a buy and hold guy? Are you a flip guy, a combination? Like, what does it look like today?
It's all of that. You know, I flip a lot of properties, not so many anymore. In 2021, I'll probably fix it. Not probably. I will fix and flip 40 houses.
40 this year.
40 this year. I own several hundred rental properties free and clear.
I got
a couple hundred more in syndications and all that other crap that you guys talk about that I never get any payment on. I don't get the checks, but I got hundreds more, but I don't really even count them. It's kind of like putting my money in the stock market. Maybe it'll come back. And sorry to all you guys who are doing those things. That's great, but that hasn't been my journey. I've got a property management company. We manage 500-600 properties. I've got a real estate brokerage company. I've got a small seminar coaching business. But this year, to be honest with you, I'm coming down to the end. I don't have a clear vision of my goals. That's why I'm out here going to ski every day to recreate what's next in my life. My life now is about helping others, and it's about making a difference in the world. And my goal is really to touch 1 million people by 2022. I don't know how that's happening yet. I don't have a clear pathway, but I know between the books, the seminars, the TV show, it's all coming together. It's available to me. And I trust God is going to put some angels in my life that are going to carry me along. And that sounds hocus pocus, but all these years, what I've done, I built that relationship with God. Whether you call it Jesus, Allah, Buddha, Muhammad, There is the power of creative energy. There's a source out there that we're all connected to. And when you get yourself aligned with that and get clear on where you're going to go, the big picture, it will start taking you there. Just like my real estate business, my morning routine is critical to my success. It's non-negotiable. I get up hours before most of the world because I get myself dialed in the morning on a specific program called Launch Your Day. The next book I'm going to have is Launch Your Day, Launch Your Life. And so it was maybe a little bit of vague. I'm going to flip houses this year. I'm going to help other people do the same. Most of my deals come from the students or the alignment of people that I have, wholesalers around that bring them to me, or title companies and lawyers when deals fall out. I pay cash for deals. I'm actually probably going to sell off 10% of my portfolio again this year, like I did last year, and pick up some more coins, as long as the market stays high right now.
Sure, sure. So when you do that, Mark, do you do that and do a 1031, or you just take the money off the table?
Yeah, I'm taking the money off the table right now. I'm not 1031-ing out. We're in unprecedented times, though, Billy.
Yeah.
Where there's more money in the streets. So for all you guys who need to start with no money, the 401ks, the pensions, and all the people, there's a huge amount of money in the streets that is earning a little bit. Those are your prime targets where you can get your no money down deals because you get the money from investors. But there's never been this much money in the streets available. At the same time, prices are still escalating. And at the same time, there's unemployment going rampant, and there's about to be a shitload of people that are going to lose their houses. And that's where we come in. You know, the opportunity is right for people to get started right now. And if you've already built an infrastructure, it's going to be time to really pour it on, because crisis equals opportunity. Why? Because people's emotions are running wild. People are living in anxiety and fear right now. Many of them don't have jobs and they don't know what to do, which is great for us because we're here to help them.
Sure.
But there's unprecedented times. Anybody who says they knows what's going on, I wouldn't listen to them, because nobody knows what's going to happen right now.
Don't you believe, like, now is always the time? Like, people always say, like, you know, when should I start investing? Now. Like, and start now. Don't wait. Start. Like, don't kill yourself. If you're 65 years old and you're listening to this podcast and you're like, I've always wanted to do this, start now. Like, there's no reason why you can't start where you're at. And if you don't have the knowledge or the experience, but you have the money, you're 65, you have a whatever, you have a retirement account, partner up with somebody, invest in somebody's deals. We do that. I have people all over the nation invest in our deals. They want to be investors, but they don't want to go out and spend the time and the resources to learn this business. But they've accumulated some cash either in their 401k or in their business accounts, or just from working hard and saving it away. And they've invested $2, $3, $4, $500,000 with us. Whatever you are in life, you can just start now. You can start doing it. If you're a young guy, middle-aged guy, and you want to do this, like, start it. Don't fear is going to happen. It's going to get in your way. The head, the mind game upstairs, your mind's going to go sideways. The thoughts of, I can't do this. What if this goes wrong? I did a thing last night. I was doing a presentation to about 50 people. And one of the guys asked me a question like, you know, how do you start this? And I'm getting leads, but I don't have the money. Look, if you get a good deal that you land, I'll partner with you. Mark will partner with you. There's guys out there, women out there that have the expertise that if you have a deal, you bring it to us, we will JV partner with you. I mean, that's a part of it.
And remember, one of my favorite quotes that I made is it's always the right time to buy real estate if you buy real estate the right way.
Exactly. You got to buy it right.
And the right way is different for different people depending where they're at. And for those of you, just to make an analogy.
So what do you mean by that? Explain that.
Okay. So I'll give you an example. I bought an apartment complex way back about 20 years ago, which means I went through a couple of cycles. At one time, it was worth $500,000. At one time, it was worth $2 million. Either way, it paid me rent, a cash flow for all these years. It didn't matter what the property was worth. I now own it free and clear. But I went through the cycle. Sure, it felt better when it was high and it was worth $2 million, but I still was putting money into Mr. Hip Pocket Bank every month and paying down my mortgage at the same time. So right now, there's a lot of people. And every year, it's the same thing. Last year, it was the economy. People were worried about it. The market went crazy. But if you buy real estate that stands alone, stands on its own merit, like this is a house, you buy this house and you can put cash flow in your pocket and pay down the mortgage. It doesn't matter if the price of the property goes up or down. People want to sit on the sidelines and say, oh, the crash is coming, we want to wait. You never can time the time to get in. If you haven't built your infrastructure, if you haven't got yourself going in that direction, you can't even time that right, and you won't be ready when it happens. So structure deals that are safe no matter what happens in the economy. Don't, this is just about me, I don't, you do leverage, and I don't speculate. I don't guess that the market's going to go up. They have to make sense at where they're at now, and you've got to know what your exit strategy is, worst case scenario.
So do you have a, because it sounds like you're more of a buy and hold, which I love, because I did not do that in the beginning when I first started doing this, because I had no choice. I needed to build my cash reserves. So the last 5 years, a lot of buying hold piece.
But I want to crush that thought. I want to crush that thought.
Go ahead.
Okay. If you're in real estate, this is not a short-term game.
Nope.
And the only way to win in the end is to have cash flowing properties, because cash flow is lifestyle. And anyone who's really involved in real estate for the long haul is in it for a lifestyle. So for you to say that you couldn't because you didn't have any money was a myth. And I want to knock out that myth. It's not true. If you can structure a deal the right way and put money in your pocket. Now, remember, Billy, and everybody out there, I didn't even know anything about wholesaling properties till like 10 years ago.
Wow.
So I didn't even know what wholesaling real estate was. I had already built two 100 and something properties when I was a kid, and then another 50 before I even knew what wholesaling was. So lots of people now think they have to start with wholesaling because they got no money. That's a total myth. And what we need to do is change the way that we think about things, because when we change the way we think about things, the things we think about change. So I want to crush what you were saying to the people out there, and I'm sorry to disrespect.
No, not at all. No, that's the way I started, because I had zero and I wanted to build up my own chunks of cash. So I could have gone down the road of buying properties with a few hundred dollars a month in cash flow in New York. And I looked at it and I said, I don't want to do that game right now. I want to build up chunks of cash in my bank, so then I could take it and start buying larger property. That was just my thought process. Right, wrong, and different. It's the way I did it. But leads me to the question I want to ask you. What is your process for, take our listeners through, how do you underwrite a deal? Single family property. How do you underwrite that deal to see if it's a good deal? Regardless of where the economy is, just based on the merits of that property, how do you go about doing it?
Well, that has a lot of different ways to look at it, because I was different than most of the people that I know. I didn't go based on ROI or cap rates or anything like that.
What's your process?
Especially when I started going, I decided that I needed to scale my business in a way that was easy. Well, easy, even though it's hard. So once I started buying property, I began my process of buying property around the properties that I bought. Like I got zip codes and I focused on that area there. So sometimes a deal may not look as good as another deal that was on the other side of town, except I was looking to scale my business in a zip code, whether it was the management, whether it was the maintenance, whether it was managing the property.
Right.
So I started building circles where I could build an infrastructure.
Was there a criteria? Was there like an underwriting criteria that you would adhere to? Like, was there a certain cash flow that you would look for out of these properties? Was there a certain cap rate you would look at? Like, how did you, was there a formula like, I'm going to buy the property, and if it meets the threshold of 1% of total purchase price plus repair costs, and it gives me at least a 1% return on a monthly basis for revenue for rental, I'm going to take that property and look at it because it passed my first thing. Like, what's your?
Well, I'd always buy a property that has 1%. That's a great number to use. So that's a great boundaries is set, but no, it was more like an inner gut feeling, to be honest with you. And it's another lesson I kind of teach is trust your gut, because your gut always knows. But each property just had to make sense, and what made sense to me may not make sense for somebody else, because I wasn't going by cap rate or the rate of return on the property. What I was going for, did it make sense for me? Could I see myself owning this property for 20 years? Is this a long-term play for me? Obviously, if I'm going to fix and flip a property, it's gotta make money when I sell it.
Sure.
But and there wasn't.
So would you buy a rental property that was in your circle, in your neighborhood, that had a break even on the cash flow, but you thought it could have a good side appreciation? It was in your circle of deals. You would not. So
I never bought property based on the appreciation, ever.
So would you just base it off of cash? Like, I'm trying to get, like, you can't just go off your gut. There has to be some sort of process that you go through.
Oh, shit. Well, it takes a long time to train your gut, but yes, I can just go off my gut, but maybe you can't, and that's okay. But the process was, I'll say what I said again, especially early on when I was broke, okay? And I don't want to say broke because once I started going, I may have not had money, but I wasn't broke anymore because I wasn't broke in my mind.
Sure.
When it begins in your mind. But if a property could put some money in my hip pocket and I could pay down the mortgage and manage it effectively, I was grabbing that property any way that I could.
Got it. And early on, Mark, were you doing all creative financing? Were you doing deals where you would bring in other people who had money and make them like a JV partner on the deals? Like, take us through that part.
Yeah, that was an important step. So that's a good point to bring up. Early on, see, once you get your confidence, that can come in an instant, really. A month after I was living on the streets, I had found myself again. You know, thank God for that.
Thank God, sure.
Thank God for that. You know, so I was able to convey my confidence to other people. And early on, I found a partner, a guy who believed in me. First, he just loaned me money, hard money, 2 points, 12%, 3 points, 10%. But as he started to watch me move and how I was moving, that later turned into a partnership. One of the best alliances I ever had. He passed away last year. But that first investor who believed in me and had money, who later would just give me money, all I'd have to do was call up. I got a deal and, you know, it wouldn't be yet to check anything out. But it started with finding that person early on that believed in me. So, yeah, that was critical.
Yeah, critical. And so you would leverage other investors, bring them in as partners. And then I heard also that you would utilize creative financing in the beginning to do these like no money down deals, sell it, take backs. Yeah, in the beginning to get yourself going. And that's the way that a lot of youngsters or even people that are older and have no money, that they can get into this business, whether it's wholesaling, fix and flip, or buy and hold, as long as they're resourceful and they know that they could do things in a certain way. They could, you know, do seller financing, do seller takebacks, do subject twos. I mean, there's so many different ways that you could do these no money down or very little money down deals. And then if it does require money down, like find a partner, find a money partner. And sometimes it's not going to be a hard money lender. It's going to be a person who's going to come in with the $15,000 or $20,000 down. And you and he are now a joint venture partnership on this one particular deal. I mean, it's a good way. Partnerships, I wouldn't say in your business, but on a deal by deal basis, if you have a JV, I call it partner on those deals, it could catapult you to the next level in life. I'm not really an advocate for major partners in your business because it gets too sticky, but individual deals, I have partnerships on individual single families, multifamilies with multiple people, but I own my business. Partnerships with JVs, but my business itself, I'm an owner. Do you own your business? Do you have partners in your business?
And I've gone a different way in the last decade. I believe that I don't really want to do anything alone anymore, Billy. So the greatest joy in my life is doing things with other people. And early on, I felt the same way. And real estate investing can be a lonely business. And it is a lonely business most of the time, unless you collaborate or make partnerships. My first time around in my career, all the partners that I had, as I lost everything, all owe me money and all left on a bad note.
Yeah.
Next time around, these last 20 years, my best relationships and the most rewarding, fulfilling things have been not just the partnerships I have in real estate, but the partnerships I have in pretty much every business I have. I have a partner, they're my who's. My real estate company, brokerage and management company. A girl started with me. She was making $500 a week. She's now a multimillionaire. She's my partner. She runs Relax Realty Group, which is our management company and our brokerage. And, you know, if she asked me 10 things a year anymore, it would be a lot. And she just runs that whole thing, and that thing's off and running. Same with my seminar coaching business. I have a partner there who's great at what he does. And, you know, they have all the freedom to do what they need to do. I'm only there to be a guide or a source of inspiration and some knowledge for talented people who have their own dreams. And my job is to help them fulfill their dreams. But
I love it.
Yeah, I understand where you're coming from, but I'm not there anymore. I won't do anything anymore without somebody doing it with
me. So you're a visionary who's bringing in operators that are operating a business, and you're given the vision, and you're given the direction of the future, and they're really executing your plan. That's what it sounds like.
Yes, and you know what? Most people just need somebody to give them a little bit of encouragement and a little tap on their back, or to help them get through the small bumps on the way to let them know it's going to be okay. Because you know what? There's nothing that can stop anybody who's going to make it and who's got a clear vision and has got a determination and has some goals and a plan. And there's nothing I can say to somebody who's not willing to do that. So sometimes it's just, you know, it's the greatest joy for me. Like when I have a guy that I've mentored, like, and I have dozens of them at this point, a few special ones for sure that just, I love them. And to watch them succeed is like honestly brings tears to my eyes. When like I had one of my students call me last night, he told me he made $2.2 million this year.
Is that great, that's man?
Real fucking money. You know, I said, damn, you almost caught me.
I love it. I love Mark. This has honestly, you know, we're coming up to the 40-minute mark and I don't want to go too much long. I want to keep these podcasts right around there. You have been wonderful interviewing, a great person to speak with. If people want to get to know you more, how do they find you online? Like, give a little plug for yourself.
Well, I'll give a little plug, but hopefully you're going to clip on that little package that I sent to you where they can see it afterwards. But
absolutely.
It's markpellets.com. That's markpellets.com. My book, Think Like a Real Estate Investor, is a great bedside book that has 40 years of my experience. It was funny. This book took me 30 years to write. I've been in real estate for 40 years. I write this book and all of a sudden I'm an expert. So, but Your Time Is Now is my newest book that just came out, The Millionaire Mindset. Your Time Is Now. You can get both of those on Amazon and it will tell you how to get a hold of me somehow. Billy, hopefully we'll connect on the bottom. Do I have a minute to pitch?
Absolutely. I want to add, what is your, every email you send, everything on Facebook, you have those emojis on. You have a fist, you have a rocket launching, you have a heart. What does that mean?
Yeah, baby, let's bring it to the world because these are going to be my signature ones. My next book is Launch Your Day, Launch Your Life, but these emojis. The fist bump is to knock out the fears and the memories and anything in the past that has held you back. Let's crush them. Goodbye. The rocket ship is your brain. Point your brain, get a clear vision of the future that you want to create. Your brain is your rocket ship. And love, bring the signature of love to everything that you do, and your world is going to be beautiful.
I love it. Very good, my man. Everybody, this has been, it's been wonderful having you on, Mark. Thank you so much. You and I are going to be doing a lot in the future together because I resonate with you, man. Like, I'm looking up to you. You bring a lot to the table, and I appreciate you coming on and sharing your knowledge and your wisdom. Thank you.
I feel the same, Billy, and it's up to us to make that happen, though.
Absolutely.
You have a connection that's inexplicable, but we got to find a way to connect together to see if there's something that we're supposed to be doing together, and I hope we take the time to do that. So,
Most definitely.
Grateful for you.
You as well, my man. Thank you, bro.
See ya.
Thank you so much for listening to today's episode of Unstoppable Real Estate Investing Wealth. My mission is to give you, my listeners, the blueprint for success, the insider secrets for starting, growing, and scaling your real estate investing business so you can experience and live the unstoppable lifestyle. I've made it simple for you. To catapult yourself to success, go to billyssecrets.com. That's B-I-L-L-Y-S, secrets.com. There you will find every single tool, tip, trick, strategy, system, and secret used to make millions of dollars as a real estate investor. Everything my team uses and my guests use all in one place for you to tap into so you can start, grow, and scale your real estate investing business. I really hope you implement what you're learning. I hope you utilize these tools, tips, tricks, strategies, and secrets. And I hope to see you on the next episode. God bless. Bye-bye.